I'll be reading Matthew 20, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Thank you, Jackie. Jackie is with us for one more week. That will conclude her year with us. She was our director for after school program, and she is our director this summer and has done such a fine job with the children. Thank you so much, Jackie. Will you pray with me? Holy God, we give you thanks for gifts such as the ones just offered to us in song. It warms our heart. It brings us together. It gives us history as we move forward as a community. And we are grateful. Amen. Today is the last sermon in a 6-week series that Adam and I have shared. It's a sermon series on parables. Frederick Buechner defines a parable as a short story with a large point. And so we ask ourselves every Sunday, what is the point? What is the point of today's parable? Not long ago, I was having lunch with a cousin and my sister, and I knew this parable was coming up, and I wanted to see how familiar it was to people who are regular churchgoers. And so I said, "Hey, what do you two think about the parable of the sheep and the goats?" And one of them said, "The lost sheep." I said, "No, the parable of the sheep and the goats." And so I just kind of redid it for them. I said, "You know, the king separates people into sheep on one side and goats on the other. And he tells them, you know, you're over here because of everything that you did for me every time you saw me. And you're over here because of you didn't do that same thing." And I said, "And the thing about this parable is that neither one of them knows that they did or didn't do what they did or didn't do." I said, "What do you think about that?" And my cousin looked at me and she said, "I think they both need therapy." In the 70s and the 80s, if you wanted to know if you were being a good Christian or someone else was a Christian, You'd go to their home and you'd find certain books placed around the home that they had to be reading because they were Christian. And there were certain kinds of lifestyles that had to be lived if you were called a Christian or recognized as a Christian. And there was great discipline and restraint. And if you didn't do so, there was always a group of people in the church that would correct you on that and tell you how you were supposed to be acting. But it didn't include so much the feeding of the hungry and the visiting of those in prison or those who were sick. At annual conference, we always have a time where those who are retiring get to speak. And one of those this year was Bill Bryan, and many of you have heard him speak. Bill was here from 1983 to 1995. And he was asked the question, "What are you working on now?" And he said, "Well, I'm not working on what is the kingdom of God because I learned that back from 1983 to 1995. He said, I was reading this periodical called Sojourners Magazine where the evangelism guy named Jim Wallace was writing. And I was reading the Gospels and put the two of those together. I went to my district superintendent and said, I want an inner city church. I want to know what the Gospel and Sojourners Magazine are talking about. And so I got grace. So I know what the kingdom of God is. I've seen the face of God in East Dallas. God is right there in all the messiness and the ambiguity of human life. You want to see the face of God? Look into the face of one of the least of these, one of the most vulnerable, one of the children. So we who live and work and drive back and forth to Grace, we get a chance to see what Bill sees. If you drive the way I do coming in from work, you're going to see it at least five times between the Hall Street exit and Grace Church. You're going to see people with cardboard signs. You're going to see people who are dressed differently, maybe. You're going to witness that. So I like this passage because it seems that Jesus shares our same social policy. Jesus really is about social justice. Until I really think about it. Because when I start thinking about the times that I've fed the poor, visited the sick, visited in prison, I start thinking about all the times that I haven't fed the poor or visited the sick or those in prison or turned my head the other direction at the stoplight so that I wouldn't look into the eyes of the next person that was on that corner. So here's the thing about this passage that drives us to therapy. The one who fed the hungry and clothed the poor and visited the sick and welcomed the stranger didn't do any of those things to inherit the kingdom. Did you get that? Didn't do any of those things in order to inherit the kingdom. They were totally surprised when Jesus said, "You will have the kingdom and see the face of God." Couldn't tell the difference, really. They couldn't tell the difference between the sheep and the goats. In North America, sheep and goats are pretty easy to distinguish. Even if you weren't raised on a farm or haven't been to the zoo or anything, you can see the difference between the sheep and the goats. But that's because we've worked really hard to do that. There's a process, and the sheep have gotten fluffier and fluffier so we can use their wool. But still, in many places in Asia and in Africa, the sheep and the goats look a lot alike. You've seen pictures? They do. They look a lot alike, and it's hard to tell the difference. There's an NPR blog, and it's entitled Goats and Soda. And the author recently made an apology for putting a picture of what he had always thought was a goat on his blog site. And I looked at it, and it looked like a goat to me. But someone who knew better said, "That's not a goat that you've got on your goat blog. That's a sheep. Look at the ears." He said, "Sure enough, I apologize. It's a sheep on my goat blog." In the parable, being righteous didn't originate from the desire to be righteous. Someone told them they were good. You're good people. And who knows? Maybe those goats had been told they weren't so good. Maybe they had been told they weren't the right gender, or they weren't the right orientation, or they didn't have the right lifestyle, or maybe they didn't have the right worldview. Maybe no one had told them that they were blessed by God and loved by God. That by loving another person, by feeding them, by serving them, they could actually see the face of God. I think today you and I are like the sheep and the goats. We can't see the very thing that we're invited to before our very eyes. There's all this conversation about what to believe. While there's this open invitation about how to live what we believe. So this week, that same cousin that was with me at lunch and told me that the goats and the sheep both needed therapy sent me a blog entitled Screaming Goats. I'm going to see if I can do this. If I can't, okay. Does that sound like humans? Listen to this one. I mean, it sounds just like us, so I was chagrined. That's all she did. She said, "Get this." I was on to something. So here's the take from this parable, I believe. "Do you finally see?" says the writer. "Nobody knows anything. Salvation is not dependent upon knowledge. It's not dependent upon those conversations about what we're having conversations about half the time." Students of the New Testament, and there are many of you in here, know that the only description really of the last judgment in the New Testament is right here in Matthew 25, which is what a lot of people refer to when they're trying to describe the last judgment. And there's only one criteria if you look at this, and it's whether or not we saw the face of Jesus Christ in the face of the needy, in the face of those who were called out as different and not ministered to, in the face of those who were in prison or had been to prison and couldn't get a job, in the face of the immigrant. So this is personal stuff. So here's what God wants us to know. The God of love wants us to know, to teach us, that to love is to live. That's what God wants us to know. To love is to live. So yes, this parable will drive some of us to therapy, because some of us want to know, what's on the quiz? We're the goats. That's not a quiz. I want to know the answer to the questions. But Nadia Boltz Weber says this, "I just don't think grace includes two separate classes of people, one class that hungers and the other class that offers the food. The fact is," she says, "we're both sheep and goat. We're both hearers of the gospel and we're receivers of the gospel. We meet the needs of others and we have our needs met." And the strangeness of the good news is that, like those sheep and those goats who sat there before the throne, it says, we say, "Huh? When did I ever feed you? Or when did I not feed you?" So coming out of therapy, we have a promise that Jesus is present anytime needs are met. And I'll tell you, it's not comfortable, because the kingdom of God looks more like someone bringing water to us that we don't particularly like. And that's uncomfortable. And it looks more like living in the middle of families that are split apart by immigration and owning the fact that groups of people continue to be found dead in trucks on parking lots. Owning that instead of saying, "Not my problem." It's about making sure that every school, as one of our people said on Facebook this week, is available to all children. Those good schools are available to all children as well as to our own children. It's about giving hope to someone by offering them a violin. It's not about being saved. It's not about being good, this passage. It's about stumbling along, doing the right thing, especially when we have no idea that accolades are down the road for what we do. We have massive inequalities in our world, massive in our nation, in our state, in our city. So the question has changed, I think, from the 70s and 80s. The question for Christians is, where is the church, your church, when it comes to hunger? Where is the church when it comes to hospitality? Where is the church when it comes to prison? Because we have many opportunities to serve and to be served. Here's the scandal of the passage, that we will at one time or another be able to see the face of Jesus as he approaches us on the street and says, "Hey, you look like you could use a good meal." Don't be surprised when that happens. You never know. Amen.